Welcome to Security Guy Radio. It has his 2016 in kind of beautiful, but not quite beautiful, Orlando, Florida. Oh, I got soaked last night. What was your name, sir?
Brian Giampaoli.
And what's the name of your company?
Indigo Vision.
Indigo Vision. What do you guys do?
We're a complete end-to-end video solution provider, focusing mostly on software at this point.
Okay.
We are an ONVIF compliant system, so we can use third-party cameras.
Oh, yeah, I know ONVIF. That's good.
We have ONVIF. Yeah. We also have our own line of cameras, but the key thing is we want to be open to everybody, so especially with the Internet of Things coming up and other integrations with third-party devices, so we are a complete open solution.
Now, this is a good thing. I was on the fence with this for a while, right? Open, not open, proprietary, not proprietary. I think we have to be open. You seem like your company is going there earlier, because we still have some people that say, well, that's my camera, my system, and you got to use all my stuff, and that's the way it goes. But yeah, if the Internet of Things comes and everything's on the Internet, if you're not ready for it, I think you're going to be out of business.
I agree. And that's why we're trying to be ahead of the curve.
Right.
We really think we are. We want to be a leader in the industry. So we do want to be at that forefront and actually having our solution be ready for anything that may come along, completely open, being able to integrate with third-party systems. You know, it's we're going to continue to expand security, and always have other parties that want to come in and have a single solution or at least have integration to
right.
that. So our idea is we want to be ahead of that curve.
See, when I worked at the studios, everybody wanted our business, because we had kind of deep pockets and we wanted to have the latest and greatest thing. And the companies that wanted to be sole source for me, I was not crazy about, because I thought, you guys are really good, but two or three people are better, right? With different ideas and things like that, right?
I agree.
So if you're agnostic, so to speak, and your cameras are agnostic, if that's right, the right word, right? They're just kind of, we can plug and play. How do you think that benefits your company? I think it does. I want you to explain it to me, though.
Yeah, sure. So there are advantages to having a solution where you have, what I'll say is complete end-to-end, right? We do have our own cameras. There are certain functionalities that you can have in your product that ONVIF won't address.
Right.
So by having the ability to say that, you know, we can tie to those third-party open solutions, but when we make our own product, we may have feature sets and some of the functionality that these other cameras won't have. So you do have an advantage there. As well, you have one throat to choke. So when there is a problem on a site, right? You're not pointing to another third party saying, well, we've proven our solution's working.
Right.
It's your other provider. Now you go work with them. And meanwhile, the customer's still unhappy.
Yeah, so the ONVIF profile is great, but also you can go backwards and say, we're going to customize it for you and make it work, right?
Exactly.
That's the thing. Now, tell some of the products. Give me some of your vertical products that you guys, you know, work on specifically.
So the verticals we work in really big are education, airports, citywide surveillance, police departments, government. So we have product that fits all those needs, especially one of our new products is our frontline body worn product. So that's really big right now.
Oh, body cam stuff.
Body cams, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's
absolutely
huge.
Absolutely, it's very big. And people, unfortunately, our industry has seemed to focus on the police departments
right.
for that, which I think is a wonderful department for that, or vertical, but it's only a market segment. You start looking at first responders. You have hazmat response teams. You have fire response teams. You have for weather, the response teams, you know, in bad weather conditions, tornadoes,
right.
hurricanes, whatever.
How about news crews?
News crews.
Yeah.
Anyone can have a body worn
camera.
Yeah, you need to record what has happened or what have they done to be maybe following proper regulations. So we're looking above and beyond that. We're trying to create new markets, create new demand, and avoid just looking at it, just being a protection for the police.
You need one on my garbage collector guy in Burbank, because he got all pissed off the other day because we were standing too close to the barrel and he had to sit there and wait. And then he got out through the garbage can. Got mad about it, and you know, if he had some kind of throttle on him to help his behavior,
yep.
right, and make people behave, that would be a good thing. So, I can see a lot more things in this. I'll tell you what, one market maybe you should look at. My brother, he's a retired fire captain, and now he has a job where he works for the power company. He goes around and says, "Hey, why aren't you wearing your hat? Why aren't you wearing your safety boots?" And he gets the guys on the line to comply with safety issues.
OSHA standards.
And they don't have any cameras on those guys.
Exactly.
But those guys could use them of all places. Sometimes you're on a wire by yourself and you get shocked. Who knows what's happening to you?
Well, even think beyond that. What if we, let's take the exact same scenario. You have a utility company. They're out on a site. And of course, they're looking at what do we need for repair parts?
Right.
Why can't they very quickly bring their camera up, scan what they're working on, what they've got right now,
that
go back to the maintenance center,
yeah.
So bring this out to us so we can finish the job and
right.
have to go back, take time, and have those travel.
Now, all this stuff takes a lot of bandwidth, a lot of storage. And I'm working with people and talking to people like with EMC or big storage people, data storage. Do you have partners that you work on the storage with, or do you have your own storage?
We have our own storage.
Okay.
And we have Dell as our storage solution internally. However, at the same time, you know, we partner with companies like Quantum. And,
I just
Pivot 3.
They're great. Yeah.
Exactly right. And so for that longer term, we're hearing now, you know, with some of the court cases that go on, some police events, things like that, we're getting into 2 and 3 and 5 year storage. We don't have that solution. So we partner with other companies that right. have the storage portion, and then we work together and get a complete solution that best fits that customer.
It's so interesting. When I bought some of the first digital decks back in the day, it was 4 cameras and a quad, multiplexer, right? You don't know. You're not old enough to know what a multiplexer is.
Trust me, I'm older than you think I am.
And it was $25,000, right?
Yes.
And we could only store like a week. And we had to put it on a CD. And we wanted to spec our providers. We said, I need to store that for a year. Oh, that's not possible. You have to do it, or we're not going to buy it from you. And I Omega disk. We did all kinds of things. And we thought, you know, listen, if I could keep it forever, I would. And I thought the industry would get to a point where this was just stored forever. And now we're kind of going backwards to, no, we can't store it forever. And then there's laws in other countries, correct me, right?
Yes, there are.
You can't have it more than 30 days in England because we say so. And I go, you could be missing analytics that will allow you to say, look at all these cameras and all these things for the last 20 years. There's a bad guy that keeps going around. He's a serial killer. We might have him on a video camera. We don't know it, right?
Exactly.
So where do you think the industry is going? Are they trying to go to a higher storage capacity, or just saying, you know what, it's just going to be the standard of a month and that's it?
So it's actually twofold. Let's look at it this way. First of all, the first thing that came up was, you know, storage was very expensive. Back in the day. Let's
sure.
go back in the 1980s, 1990s, yep. when, you know, we had, you know, only megabit disks.
Right.
Okay. So storage has come way down in its cost. Same time, our technology has advanced with products like ZipStream 2 and H.264 and H.265. We're compressing the video better. So we can use less storage. So the two combined are actually converging to allow us to have longer term storage.
So even though we got 7K, it's still not really affecting us proportionally because of the compression stuff.
Exactly right.
Okay,
exactly.
Right.
But I think what's happening is, as a society, we're learning that events occur, and as you said, something may have happened that we did not know about in the past.
The Donna Rumsfeld
theory.
That's right.
So if we don't have that data to go back and research and look at, what good does it do us? So they're looking now to start keeping much more information longer term, just in case there's something there that we missed or weren't aware of, but now we have the data available to go back.
Now, who wants to do that? Because my experience with corporate lawyers is they'd rather not have something. They have to disclose and discovery, right? So they go, let's erase all that stuff. And our policy is we're restored for a year. And if discovery comes 5 years from now, sorry, pal, we don't have it, right? That's one way to defend yourself.
That's one way to defend yourself.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Who wants
ignorance
to save
is
it
bliss,
longer?
Right?
Yeah. Who wants to save it longer? Municipalities want to save it longer. Government places want to save it, or private sector wants to save it longer.
So let's look. There are some insurance companies
for insurance
reasons,
of course,
that you
right.
want to store it longer.
Yeah.
Insurance companies are going to say, we want that longer.
Want it forever.
You do have some municipalities, some police departments, correctional facilities especially. Did they let the wrong person out of jail?
Yeah.
Right? And they have to be able to go back and prove that. So there are certain markets that require that longer-term storage. We're looking at that. And we're just trying to figure out now, you know, do we have the availability, and is it priced competitively that they can actually do that? And we're seeing all that converging together. Like I said, the technology and the price of storage coming down.
Well, we go back to an old model where you give me a service and you store it in the cloud and you store it for X amount of time. And then for an extra cost, I'm going to put it on a hard disk, some kind of hard copy, and I'm going to stick it in your carousel and you can put that in your garage. Keep it forever if you want. Or is that just not practical anymore?
I think
these storage banks we used to have for people.
Yeah, I remember that. And I do believe that, you know, the cloud is the newest thing. Everybody's trying to push that cloud storage, cloud everything. But, you know, people always forget the cloud is not a cloud. There is a storage system somewhere storing
exactly,
that. It's
right.
just how do you access it, right? So, and the other challenge you come into is let's go back in history. Can you play an 8.5-inch, 5.5-inch floppy disk anymore? A 3.25-inch floppy disk?
I actually can. I saved those, but
well,
you're
saved
right.
them.
But most people can't.
But most people cannot.
That's
so
right.
therefore, how will technology change over the years?
Yeah, that's
if
true.
We don't store it in a more modern and a more updated technology,
no, that's true.
They're not going to be able to access
yeah,
it
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah.
So you have to get back to all the technology at the same time. We have to be able to say we have to be able to maintain the database and its infrastructure, as well as what media is it on, so we can access it in the future.
I've always thought maybe we'd run out of storage. Do you think that's a possibility? Not that we run out, but we can't keep up with it. In other words, there's so much data being created with so much, you know, high, you know, memory that we can't build enough data centers fast enough.
Well, I think that may be the challenge. I don't think we'd have a problem of not being able to store it as far as
right.
physically. The challenge would be, do we have the capacity?
Okay, capacity, right. Okay.
Right? Do we have enough machines? Do we have enough data centers? Do we have enough real estate to actually build the required infrastructure to do that? That's the question.
I'm going to go into the data storage business, I think. I'm going to get some, some old bank building right nobody now, wants. That's right. Yeah, city's giving that building away for a dollar. I'm putting a bunch of data banks in there to save it. Well, it could become the new public storage, right?
I could see
where companies like yourself, they're in that space doing it. You can't focus on that part of your business. Your part of your business is the management part, right?
Yes, we're the manager.
So you could have some old building that's just a public storage for digital data. It might happen. I don't know.
It might happen. Obviously, you have to upgrade it properly for all the environmental controls. But absolutely. I mean, I was just in a building in Boston. It was an old retail store that they converted into a data warehouse.
Yeah, interesting.
It's amazing what they do with that space.
Very cool.
Yes.
Well, give us your website.
Our website is www.indigovision.com.
That's an easy one.
Easy one to remember.
And if somebody wants to contact you directly?
My direct phone number is 704-675-2520.
Excellent. Thanks for coming on. Let's give your name one more time.
Brian Giampoli.
Right,
in Indigo Vision. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Very good. Very interesting stuff.